Being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Tantric Lounge with noted expert on sex, love, and intimacy, Jacqueline Hillier. In our program, we'll discuss not only the nature of sex and the spirituality of sex, but also the science of sex. Now, here is one of Australia's leading experts on sex and love, Jacqueline Hillier.
Hello, I'm Jacqueline Hillier, and this is the Tantric Lounge, where we talk sex, science, and spirituality. Yes, I am the sexual scientific mystic, and I'm here to inform you, to enlighten you, and probably even tantalize you a little around the topics of sex, love, and intimacy. And here, joining me yet again on my third show is my dear friend and creative collaborator, Xavier Watercain, who I feel, especially given all of the feedback about how wonderful he is and how he augments me so well, I should officially dub you, Xavier, my co-host.
Thank you for the dub. Shall we get on with it?
We shouldn't.
Okay, fine. Just as an aside, the viewers, the listeners at home can't see this, but you've got a bunch of flowers here on the table.
I do.
Why are they there, aside from their obvious symbology as sexual organs?
Yes, they are quite symbolic. I'm not quite sure whether they're female or male organs. What do you think? They're sort of hollow and welcoming like a female genitalia, yet they're quite long and protruding like male.
Well, who can speculate about the sex life of plants?
Very hermaphroditic, I'd say.
Can we move them? Because last week we had a spillage, and what they also don't know out there in radio land is that we then had to have an argument about the spillage and the wet, who was going to sit on the wet spot on the alpaca carpet.
And in fact, we were talking about wetness, weren't
we? Yes, we were.
That whole science body, I mean, that spiritual physical split that we has been so ingrained for so long.
And this week we're talking about another split, the split between male and female.
Yes, we are. Yes. Today's topic is men are from Earth and women are from Earth.
And this was also the topic of your workshop that you ran last week, isn't it?
Well, to some extent, that's a couple's tantric workshop. I call it Luscious Lovers. And it's very much about helping couples reconnect in a very luscious, gorgeous, quite erotic, deep, beautiful spiritual space.
And what was the main theme that came out of that?
Well, as ever, I think it was about the 25th one I've run, and as ever, by the end of the day, the couples, I mean, just the love. Everyone's just swimming in it, basking in the love and the lusciousness. It's so wonderful when people can combine the love and the sexual energies together. Either one on their own can be a bit missing. But when you get the two together in a beautiful space.
A lot of the time when people are talking about sex, they talk about sex, they don't talk about love.
Yes.
And yet practically any time you talk to about anyone intimately about the subject of sex, sex with love beats sex on its own, hands down, each and every time.
Absolutely. In fact, that reminds me of this young chap who came to see me last night, a client who's a bit of a player, actually. You know, he's in his late 20s and he likes to sleep around a fair bit. And he's just had sex for the first time with someone he actually felt something for. And he came in to see me. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. It just, like, took the whole thing to another dimension. He's like, I was feeling my heart. And I'm like, yeah, it's better, isn't it? And he's like, wow. Wow.
And that was a revelation
for him. It was a revelation to him because he'd so bought into this idea that, you know, sex is about, you know, the genitals and the physical and so forth. Hadn't even thought that he needed to involve the heart center to some extent. He was involving his head center. In fact, that's why he first came to see me, because he had that whole performance anxiety thing, because he thought sex was a performance act.
But that's another common pattern, isn't it? I mean, it's even a pattern on this show where we start with the head. yes. in the first part of the show when yes. we start talking about sex and ideas yes. about sex, and then yeah. we go back into the heart where we start yes. relating to people and the questions that they write in. And right at the end, we end up usually doing some sort of body exercise.
Yes.
It seems to be a pattern.
Well, indeed. Yes. Yeah, you could definitely put it like that. But too many people miss the heart.
Or they stay in the head all the time.
Yes. Or they're just kind of stuck in one head, heart, or sex. In fact, I must bring in some of my colleagues who have been doing some absolutely fascinating work around that. They call it about the multiple brains. But I gave the link to their website last week because for that ding, ding music for the breathing. So I'll bring them in so we can have a really good chat about it.
Okay. And so what is the deal with women and men? Are they different species that happen to interbreed, or do they actually have more in common than they generally imagine?
Yes, yes. Well, look, while claiming that men and women are from different planets is, in fact, a really good marketing strategy, and I think it's made someone extremely wealthy, and there are good points around that, but the fact is that we've got a lot more in common than we have different.
Such as?
Well, virtually everything.
Like 99.9% of the DNA to start off with.
Well, yes, for a start. I mean, hey, we share 60% of our DNA with bloody fruit flies, for instance. I mean, hello. We share 97.9% with the bonobos and chimpanzees, our nearest relatives. And when we're talking about males and females, well, it's pretty much all the same.
For those of you who don't know, the bonobo is actually a separate species of chimpanzee that isn't as populous as the mountain chimp, the more common one that we know of.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, the bonobo is actually one of the sexiest animals on the planet. They are having sex all the time.
Yes, and they are actually our closest relatives.
Which more probably so even than the says a lot, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
So let's talk about the similarity. Well, what is it? Okay, why do people use gender as an excuse to be something or not to be something? And what are the myths around all of that?
Yeah, you see, part of the problem is, and why buying into these myths will prevent your personal growth and actually achieving empowerment around your sexuality, therefore empowerment in general, is that if you start labelling people, one or the other, you're a man, therefore, you're a woman, therefore, I'm a woman, therefore, I'm a man, therefore, it limits you and you can't actually see yourself or each other in your entirety. Let me give you an example. It wasn't that long ago. I had two new couple clients coming to see me, one after another. Very, very similar, you know, they're both professionals, they're both, you know, very well off. Similar ages, I think they're sort of like early 40s kind of thing, you know, some young children at school. So, you know, in terms of socioeconomic and all that sort of thing, very similar. So the first couple rock in and she's like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's a man. He should want sex all the time. He doesn't want sex. You know, I have my needs. Blah, blah, this is a big problem. And the guy's going, well, you know, I work really hard, I'm tired, you know, you can't expect too much, you know, I'm a man, blah, blah. All right, deal with them. Next couple walk in, as I said, very similar socioeconomic. And he's like, well, I'm a man, so obviously I have a high sex drive and I need a lot of sex. And she's like, well, I'm a woman and therefore I have a lower sex drive and you're just sex crazed and you need to respect my needs.
So two separate couples saying exactly the opposite things about whatever they were identifying with.
Yes.
One man saying, I'm a man, therefore I'm too tired.
Yes, because I work too hard as being a provider. Yes.
And the other man saying,
yes. Yeah.
I want it all the time.
I'm a man, therefore I want it all the time.
And in the other couple, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I want it all the time.
Well, I have my needs.
I have my needs.
Yes. Yes.
Because women are usually not as direct as I want it all the time. They're usually saying things like, I have my needs.
Yes, yes. And it was definitely more confusing for the first couple because they're not the social norm where, you know, it's supposed to be that the men are gagging for it all the time and the women are holding out on them.
And how do you deal with that problem then?
Oh, well, pretty. It's actually very straightforward. This whole idea of mismatched libidos is just insane. I mean, there's always going to be different libidos. There's always going to be a higher desire and a lower desire partner in sex or in anything else, whether it's visiting the in-laws or cooking dinner or going to, you know, Costa Rica for a holiday. Everyone's going to have differing levels of desire for different things.
Yeah, like a desire for a clean room.
Well, yes, and that brings me on to one of the key points, and that is that the differences that a couple will face are more likely to do with other elements than their sexuality, like one is cleaner than the other, for instance. That causes more angst in most couples.
Okay, so sex, even looking at sex drive as a general thing where there can be a mismatch. And, of course, just staying on that sex drive mismatch thing, it doesn't follow that a man will always be the higher desiring partner.
No, good heavens no. Half the couples I see, the man's got the lower desire.
And even then, it doesn't mean that he's going to be the higher or lower desire partner all the time.
All the time, exactly.
That people have this preconception that they're on this hard switch. I am always going to be the higher desire partner, or I am always going to be the lower desire partner. And that gets in the way.
Oh, yeah.
But the theme of this week is
it
also gets in the way because people have a preconception about what is normal for a man and what is normal for a woman. And I'm doing the inverted commas things with my fingers here.
Yes. You see, we're actually all on a spectrum. It's like a continuum. And if we're going to look at sex drive, for instance, there's a whole continuum from people who have absolutely no sex drive whatsoever to people who are just these randy bastards who just can't stop thinking about it. Okay.
But the general impression is that the higher end of the spectrum, the randy bastards who can't stop thinking about it,
Men.
Are usually bastards, not bitches.
Yes. Yes. So the men are all up one end and the women are all up down the other end.
And never the twain shall meet.
Yes, because over there is Mars and down there is Venus. And over in Venus, they don't like to have sex, and over in Mars, they can't stop thinking about it.
And what you're saying is that there's this big hill in the middle.
It's a bell curve.
Where most people are. For people who don't know what a bell curve is, it's one of those graphs which look a little bit like a bell, a bell.
Yes.
And where all of the extremes are at two ends, like extreme gagging for extreme ice planet. And in the middle, there's the warm, lush, tropical area where there are mostly men and mostly women, more or less.
Yes.
Sort of in the middle.
Yes. And look, it is probably true, and I want to go more into the differences in the actual real differences in the next program. But yes, while it might be true that the male bell curve might be slightly more up towards the gagging for it end of things, and there is reason for that, there's a lot of women up there too, right? If we're looking at the top 10% of people who are really into want sex a lot, you would find more men there. There's no doubt about that. But there's a lot of women up there. And if you look at the lowest desire level, the lowest 10%, you probably would find more women there. But you'd also find a lot of men. And that's the point that I'm making.
And this is not a gender thing as people normally think about it.
No, no.
What are some of the other myths that people have? I am a man, therefore.
What about the one? Here's another classic, that men don't like sensual lovemaking. But they just want to, like, get their dicks wet, if I can be a little crude.
Oh, feel free.
Yes. But, yeah, that men are these animalistic creatures who just want to get their end in, they just want to get their penis wet, they just want to have an orgasm, and that they don't like all the other sort of stuff. Well, you know, I've spoken to thousands of people intimately about sex, and that is certainly not what impression the men give. And I certainly meet plenty of women who kind of like, you know, I don't necessarily want all of that.
So even a man who has these preconceptions in their head that this is what men are like, when they start talking about it, they actually realise that they're not really like that.
Yeah, well, yes, absolutely. People like, I mean, the whole thing about having sex is that it's about, you know, physical connection and pleasure and so forth. And a lot of guys will tell me that they'd actually rather just masturbate than to have sex with their partner if she's not into it.
Given that that would release the tension or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather get that out of the way, like sneezing.
Yeah, well, if you're having, see, solo sex and partnered sex is different. Like, you can have solo sex just as because it feels good, you need to release some tension or whatever it happens to be. But you don't want to be having partnered sex and effectively be masturbating into your partner. It's not satisfying.
on the other scale, there's also the women who have this impression that all they ever want, that women are supposed to always want the sensual, slow Mills and Booney thing happening. Yes. Whereas there are a lot of women who do want hard, rumpy, pumpy.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? There's a lot of different ways to have sex. There's a lot of different ways to have sex. And probably for most people, they want different things at different times. It's like food. You know, sometimes you want a four-course elaborate meal. Other times you just want some cheese on toast. You just want something quick and simple.
Which brings us back to this idea of men and women. There's, I mean, men and women have preconceptions about food. Men are the steak and potatoes, and women are the
fairy
pasta
cupcakes.
And, oh, fairy, yeah. What is it? The cupcakes.
Yes.
But there are men who like cupcakes.
And women who like lots
of
meat.
And the men who like lots of meat. And again, it's not about being male or female. It's more about individual differences.
Yes.
Than about. Yes. Gender differences.
Yes, and about a couple working together to work with what their individual eroticisms are and actually allowing themselves to know what their eroticism is, what they like, what they don't like, not just in general, but in a given moment. It might be that one time, yes, I would like a little bit of, you know, romance, bring me some roses and so forth because I'm feeling a bit flat and tired and I need a bit of a boost. And other times I'm in a really good mood, you know, and actually we haven't got a lot of time, so let's just get down to it and have a quick shag, right? That could be a man or a woman saying that.
Even so, there's still individual differences.
Yes.
Which we can celebrate.
Indeed we can. As I say, there are differences between men and women. The X and Y chromosomes do create a difference. But hey, vive la différence.
Or as the Americans say on their coinage,
yes,
e pluribus unum, from the many, the one.
From
many different types of experience and different types of personality,
yeah,
people can draw this idea of unity. They can find unity in sex. They can find unity from the diversity.
Yes.
But the diversity is not necessarily gender-based.
No.
The diversity is more about individual differences that are greater than the whatever group differences exist between men and women.
Yes.
So especially the American listeners to the program, every time they want to remind themselves of this fact, all they have to do is look at their money.
They do indeed. Yes.
So you can draw a connection between money and sex that's quite different from the usual connection that people draw between money and sex.
Yes, because we are in fact not the opposite sexes. We are the complementary sexes.
And, of course, if people want to read more on the subject, the e-books of this series are available from jacquelinehellier.com or thetantriclounge.com.
.com. Yes.
Okay. Mm. I think we'll go to our commercial break now.
Terrific.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hellier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-size ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential. Have you ever thought about owning your own business? Are you interested in making more money? Are you interested in becoming focused and super productive? Mark your calendar every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, and 11 a.m. Central Time to listen and learn from America's business expert, Bill Walsh, on The Rainmaker Show. Bill will share the untold secrets to launch and build a successful company in today's challenging economy. We will also have top success experts and giveaways every week. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel to create success on your terms.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show. With Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
You are listening to the Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to the Tantric Lounge.
Hello, this is Jacqueline Hillier, and you're listening to the Tantric Lounge. We're talking sex, science, and spirituality with my co-host, Xavier Waterkane, and today we have been talking about men are from Earth and women are from Earth.
And because they're both from Earth,
yes,
they're much more similar than they are different.
Absolutely, that's the key point I'm making.
And not to use whatever differences might be as or whatever preconceptions we might have as an excuse not to develop.
Absolutely.
After all, this is the Empowerment Channel.
This is, and this is an empowering show.
And this is about empowering yourself through ditching
myths.
Stuff, crap in your head.
Yes.
That's going to stop you from developing and fulfilling and realizing your sexual potential.
Absolutely. And through that, your entire human potential.
Given that the sexes are complementary.
Yes.
It really means that. I mean, not only in the outside world where we're looking often for complementarity, for example, in the workplace.
In the workplace,
big theme at the moment in the workplace is different types of personalities bring different things to the table, bring variety, bring strength through diversity.
Strength. And that's why we're doing DISC analyses and Myers-Briggs assessments all over the place.
E pluribus unum again.
Indeed. Unity through diversity.
And then in the bedroom, the same thing.
Mm.
I like this.
Yes.
You like this.
Yes.
Together we make something completely new.
Absolutely beautiful and wonderful.
Rather than expecting people to be the same in the bedroom.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you can tap into that and when you can say, yes, our differences are good, our differences create interest and we can work together to create something gorgeous, that's when you can really start looking at it. But if you're bought into the, oh, yeah, but you're a man or, oh, yeah, but you're a woman, right? And the two will never meet, you know, we're in different parts of the solar system. How on earth are you going to have good sex if you're on different planets, for Christ's sake?
Whereas a much more interesting and productive and creative way of looking at this whole issue is to think, I'm an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I vary even on a daily basis in my level of intelligence, my level of sensitivity.
Yes.
My level of whatever,
yes.
And so do my partners or whatever,
yes.
And then we can work with that,
mm-hmm.
be creative with that rather than try to be the same.
Yes, we have huge brains, and what our brains are designed to do is be creative. Unfortunately, too many people limit what's going on in their brains, and when you buy into these stupid myths, you're actually closing yourself down. You're getting less and less creative. And therefore life and certainly sex gets more and more restricted and dull and uninteresting. And you know what? One of the reasons why these myths get reinforced is because people are having such dull, uninteresting sex that that does not work in particular for women. This is one of the differences between male and female sexuality is women get bored more easily.
I heard the other day somebody say women can even forgive infidelity.
Yes.
But they can't forgive boredom.
True. But because women lose interest in long-term, boring, monotonous, monogamous relationships and don't want to have sex, there's all this stuff about, oh, women are dysfunctional, they don't have libidos, men have got it all together, because simply because men have more testosterone and therefore it's generally easier for them to get aroused, not necessarily in the mood, but aroused, but women don't, there must be something wrong with the women. Time after time after time, I get women coming to me saying, what's wrong with me? I'm not enjoying sex. I'm not wanting sex. I ask them to describe the sex they're having. And I say to them, you know, you are perfectly normal. If that was my sex life, I wouldn't be wanting it either, because that is
Dullesville.
So for the most part, women are, because there's that question again, what do women want? What do women want? People yes. always say, what do women want?
Yes.
And what you're saying is that in your clinical practice, mm-hmm. in your experience as a sex therapist,
yes.
what women are really wanting mm. is engagement. They yes. want variety. They want mm. a story. Mm-hmm. They want something. What they don't want is boredom.
Yes. They don't want a tap on a shoulder late at night when really all they want to do is go to sleep because they're exhausted. And then they've got this miffed husband going, oh, girl, come on, it's been a week. And she rolls her eyes and goes, oh, all right, just don't take too long about it. I mean, turn me off, baby. Like, that's not going to work for anyone. And as I said, it's not working for the guys either. Guys, I get more guys coming to see me saying, yeah, we're having sex, but she's not into it, so I'm not enjoying it. What can we do about it?
And but there are many reasons that people might not want the sex. But one of the big ones is simply it's become boring.
Well, it's boring. Well, they're doing it too late at night when they're too tired, or they've just lots of little myths like sex has to be last thing at night. Why? What do we want to do last thing at night? Sleep.
We have the first of our questions coming
up.
Oh,
yes, yes, love questions.
John from Stonington in Connecticut.
Yes, hello, John.
It's always been this shameful secret that I have a lower sex drive than my wife. I rarely think about it, and she's given up trying to initiate because she's been rejected so often.
Mm.
Listening to you makes me feel more normal and maybe even a little hopeful.
Yes.
So I guess the implied question there is from John, is he normal?
Yes, of course he's normal.
Everybody's normal, I guess, to some extent.
Yes, yes, to some extent. But the trouble is in his relationship, as in so many, so many couples that I see, there's a mismatch. So they need to work on the mismatch. Now, if John and his wife are buying into the, oh, men should be gagging for it all the time, then it's going to make it harder for them, because that's one of the real troubles for couples where the man has the lower desire. Right. Because there's this myth that men are gagging for it all the time. For the woman involved, she's thinking, hey, like if all the other men out there are gagging for it and my husband doesn't want to have sex with me, what must be wrong with me? Yeah, I must be the most undesirable, awful person around. So it actually really affects the self-confidence.
And also even less charitably, what's wrong with him?
Well, that's the other thing that can happen. If she's got a little bit more robust confidence, self-confidence, she'll turn it back on him. And quite often what happens in these situations is that the woman becomes quite harsh, right? Quite yang and overly masculine in her sexual approach to him.
You mean castrating bitch?
That's one way of putting it. She can become quite emasculating, often with good intent. What's wrong with you? Yeah? You're not a man.
That's an interesting approach, though, isn't it? Mm. Trying to make a man more manly by cutting off his balls, figuratively speaking.
Yes.
Does it work?
No. No, it doesn't. And I can't tell you the number of times I've had to tell a woman that. And, look, I think it's bleedingly obvious, but it isn't. And quite often that's the big change that the woman makes. She goes, okay, maybe I need to be gentle and encouraging with him.
So the general advice for John is...
Yes.
It's perfectly okay to be who you are.
Yes.
Start from there.
Indeed. And from there, he and his wife can start looking at some things like, well, when does he feel more like it and when doesn't he, right? How can they encourage the environment, the situations, which make him think about lovemaking, right?
But not to think that he's an abnormal male. He just happens to be that particularly way.
It just brings to mind a classic case that I had once. So it was this couple came to see me in their late 40s and they had a teenage daughter. I think she was about 17 or something. And he was the CEO of a large company, right? So he worked extremely hard. She didn't. She was stay at home. I often find that stay at home mums have a lot more desire because they're not as exhausted as the working ones. But anyway, so he would come home exhausted and she wouldn't want to have sex until their daughter was asleep. Locked up in the bedroom, being 17, that was often not until 11 o'clock at night. And he was saying, look, I'm quite happy to have sex with you. I actually would like to have sex with you, but I have to be asleep at 10 o'clock, which means we must be in the bedroom by 9:30. She adamantly refused. No, I cannot have sex while our daughter might be awake.
It was a total turn off for her.
Yeah, she couldn't do it. So somehow they had to reconcile her being able to either have sex when their daughter was awake or not have sex because he was simply too tired and couldn't perform.
But that was a situational problem.
It wasn't because
she was a woman and therefore frigid.
Well, no, she wasn't because she was the one wanting it more than him.
But
she had been blaming him. They came in with her saying, what's wrong with him? He's a man. He should be wanting it all the time. He should be able to, at 11 o'clock at night, just turn it on, bang, ready to go.
We have another question.
Yes.
Brenda from Paulo Seco, Texas. That's interesting. Paulo Seco in Spanish means dry pole. I wonder whether Brenda really does come from Paulo Seco, because listeners and the people emailing, you don't actually have to tell us any identifying information at all.
No.
So
no.
I don't even know whether
yes.
Paulo Seco is a real place or whether Brenda is just being funny. Probably is. But anyway, I know what you mean about non-gender differences being bigger problems than the gender-based ones.
Yes.
Ours is that I'm a night person and he's a morning person. I'd be okay with that, except that he thinks there's something wrong with me and that I'm lazy because I don't jump out of bed at the crack of dawn and want to have sex with him.
Mm.
Yet late at night, when I'm up and about and often in the mood for some sex, he's long hit the sack.
Yes. Yes.
This is a non-gender-based different.
It is.
Men are not usually morning people or evening people.
No,
or women are.
We're all different. Yes. And that sort of thing really, really gets in the way. But again, you know, night person, morning person, you can work with that. I mean, in my own marriage, I'm no longer married to my husband, but we did have a fantastic sex life. In fact, we were probably married a bit too long because the sex was so good. But similarly, I was the night person, he's a morning person. But he'd get up early, he'd go for his run. By the time he got back, I'd slept in a little bit more and I was much more, you know, awake and in the mood because I'd been allowed to have a bit of the extra snooze. So I was in a good place. He would have gone for a run, come home. He was in a good place because he'd got to do what he needed to do first thing in the morning, which was to be active and bright and alert. I'd got to do what I needed to do first thing in the morning, which is hang out in bed and slowly wake up. And so we'd kind of meet at that point, both feeling fairly amorous.
In the late morning, early afternoon?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it might still be fairly early in the morning, but it wasn't like he could get up at 5:30 in the morning and be raring to go. I mean, I don't start functioning till about, I can push it at about 8.
Yes. What the owls, the night people, really have to get across to the larks, the morning people, is to get off your sanctimonious high horse about being early risers, because that's the one thing that drives me insane with morning people. Oh, I'm up and about. I'm crazy.
Just because you're not one either, are
I'm
you?
Not one either.
No.
No, I don't do mornings. Mornings in me. Bad news.
Yes. I can do mornings now. Having 3 children, I have to get up earlier. But thank God they've inherited my gene. And they don't start.
That's true. The whole household here are late risers, aren't they?
I don't know what I'd do if I had those awful children who didn't got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, bright as a spark. I'm trying to wake mine up at 8 o'clock because, like, come on, kids, you got to get to school. So
I have a friend who has a daughter, and it's the opposite situation. Mm-hmm. She's a morning person, up and bright. The daughter is a late riser, so just as the evening is winding down, she just wants to relax. The daughter is raring to go, and it's really hard.
Yes.
But what we don't need from morning people is the sanctimoniousness. We don't really need the holier and thou attitude.
Oh, no. And can I just point out that I'm another interesting couple I'm working with at the moment, where he wakes up, he's a builder, he does get up at 5 o'clock, he's got an erection. He thought that meant he could just roll over and have sex with his partner, right? So she'd got into the mood, she'd started waking up at 4:30 in the morning so that she could be wake enough and hopefully in the mood for sex at 5 o'clock, but was finding that that was not working for her.
Because her body clock just didn't work that way.
I was appalled. I said, I can't even conceive that 5 o'clock in the morning exists, let alone having sex at that time. Now, if she was happy having sex at 5 o'clock in the morning, fine. Right?
That didn't happen.
But she wasn't. And she wanted to have sex in the evenings when he was actually quite tired and he wanted to veg out and watch telly. But he thought that was okay because he was more self-confident and that she had the problem.
And evening people never get into this, I'm so holier than thou because I stay up later than you.
No.
I've noticed that.
Mm. Yes. I think it goes back to this whole puritanical thing.
The farmers. Farmers. It all comes from farmers.
Yes, and that pleasure is bad and we've got to work hard and it's all about sacrifice and being hard. So therefore, if you get up early, you're more serious because you're getting up, and anyone who's up late... Anyway.
I think I've just alienated our whole rural audience. No, that's not what we mean. That's not what we mean.
It's all good, and this is the point that we're making. Just so happens that you've got two owls here.
That's right. So the point is, though, morning people have to realise that the larks have to realise that the owls just need more time to get into it.
Yes.
And the owls also have to realise that they may have to get in a bit earlier before the lark, because the larks start winding down.
Yes.
And they're not going to get much of them after 8 o'clock at night.
And one of the things the owls need to realise is that sex doesn't have to be last thing at night. So if your partner wants to be asleep by 9:30 and you want to stay up until 2, that's okay, as long as you get to the bedroom and have some decent nookie at 9.
Either way, being an owl or an lark is not a male-female thing.
No. And if you have sex at 9 o'clock at night and you don't want to go to sleep, guess what? You don't have to. You can get up and do something else.
What a revelation that
would be. But it is for a lot of people.
We have Natasha from Mount Pleasant, which is in Perth. So Natasha's obviously a lark because this is an early
pretty
morning.
Pretty early. Hi, Natasha.
And yes, for the listeners in other parts of the world, there is actually a real place called Mount Pleasant. And Natasha says, I don't like porn. Mm. Is that a male-female difference?
Ah, yes. Yes, it is.
Now, so this is a real difference.
Yes, no, this is a real difference. And let me explain. And I will be going into more of this next week. But the thing is that yes, there are women up that end of the porn-liking spectrum, but you will definitely find women clumped more down the other end. And it's not that women don't like looking at people having sex. Women can be just as voyeuristic as men can be, but it's more the way that it's presented. And one of the differences is that women do have more of a slow boil to become aroused. And next week we'll be talking a lot more about how to keep your water simmering, so to speak, because a woman who has a high sex drive, it's not that she's sort of got this testosterone-driven fire libido that men have. It's more that she just keeps this herself on a slow boil kind of thing. And for a lot of women, the blatancy of porn can just be too in your face. So it's actually a turn-off. I mean, personally, I've never actually found any porn that I liked. But, hey, give me a good erotic French movie and, yes, that will turn me on a lot more.
And men, is it true that men are often more visual and women are more literary, which is why women read, which is why 50 Shades of Grey works better as a book perhaps for women than it would be as a movie?
Yes. Yes. It does seem to be like that, which isn't to say that women aren't visual, but for women it's often the surroundings that you're in are really important to women, right? So in that sense there's a visual thing. A lot of women find it really hard to have good sex in a dirty bedroom where there's crap all over the floor, and women can relax more if they're in a lovely environment where there's nice artworks and there's flowers,
but endless sequences of genitals pumping don't do it for women.
No, it's just kind of like bang.
And probably for a lot of men either.
Yeah, true. Like what it does, it can actually arouse women, and this is where there's some confusion. Like it can actually get a woman physically aroused, like lubricating and so forth, but that doesn't mean that it's kind of turned her on mentally as well. In fact, it can cause this kind of complete, cognitive dissonance or mind fuck, where her body's turned on but her mind's turned off.
And in fact, they've shown that in some scientific studies where they show women pornography and their bodies are responding aroused to the pornography.
Yes.
But their minds are elsewhere and they're reporting.
Yeah. Yes.
That it's not really working
not turned
on
off.
In their heads.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact is that women can, lubricate and even have orgasms when they're being raped, even though it's a completely horrific experience for them. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it is quite interesting. But look, having said that, there are women who like porn, and that's absolutely fine. So it's not that, women don't like porn and men do like porn, because lots of men don't like porn and lots of women do like porn. But it's kind of like, well, again, what is it that you're watching? There's softer, more erotic kind of porn, or perhaps you just prefer reading erotica. You can read erotica aloud to each other.
To answer the question, there are some sex-based differences around porn.
Yes.
But they might not actually be biological ones either. They might also be socially conditioned.
Well, yes, and there were, no doubt there are a lot of women who might like porn if they allowed themselves to like it. Yeah?
And men who, if they were honest with themselves, admitted that
they
really
didn't like it. Yeah. But one thing to be really cautious about, because I see this so often, is that there's this idea that, hey, porn's really cool, and if you don't like porn, then you're not cool. And so I'm a really cool woman, so I'm really going to like watching porn. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not cool to watch porn if you don't like porn, any more than it's cool to, I don't know,
eat
chocolate cake. Yeah. If you don't like chocolate cake, just because lots of people like chocolate cake doesn't mean you have to like chocolate cake. Yeah, really. You've got to get to know yourself, people.
And here's another question from Sue in Smithstown in Scotland.
Scotland?
Scotland, Scotland.
Okay, oh, no, that sounds like a pirate.
No. And I won't say,
oh, God.
I like sex, but I feel weird when the subject comes up and the other mums at playgroup are, I'm not going to do that.
No, do it, it's good. Okay. Go on.
I don't know, they might not understand.
Or they might close do it back. Or it's close. Scottish too. Oh, my God, it's that time.
Is it? Okay, yes. We'll go to a commercial break. We'll come back to this later.
I think we're having too much fun.
I think so.
You weren't paying attention.
I don't know. I'm not getting any...
Up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Sex. 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 Now that we have your attention, we'd like to invite you to Jacqueline Hillier's website for lots of free information. Subscribe to Jacqueline's Tantric Lounge blog posts and get her latest insights on human sexuality. Stay up to date on Jacqueline's workshops and retreats. Visit www.thetantriclounge.com for even more practical help from Jacqueline's wealth of experience. You can also purchase bite-sized ebooks, collected writings on subjects as varied as sensual sex, spicy sex, and spiritual sex, and more. Go to thetantriclounge.com and realize your true sexual potential.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Tantric Lounge with Jacqueline Hillier. Call into the program toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send us an email to questions@thetantriclounge.com. Now, let's get back to The Tantric Lounge.
Hello, welcome back. Jacqueline Hellier and Xavier Watercane here with you on The Tantric Lounge. And we were halfway through listening to a question from Sue in Scotland.
And I'm not going to continue with the Scottish accent. I'll just go really quickly then. I like sex, but I feel weird when the subject comes up with the other mums at playgroup or with closer friends because they're always complaining that their husband wants sex and they don't. I've always shut up and not said anything because I don't want them to think that I'm strange or to make them feel bad. Mm. But maybe I'm perpetuating the myth by being quiet. Maybe some of the other mums like sex too, but aren't game to break the silence. What do you think? Should I speak up?
Yes, Sue, absolutely speak up. Everyone who's listening out here, can we please all start speaking up about sex in a real way, not buying into the myths, but just being honest about what it is for us? Because, yes, I hear this sort of thing from women a lot. Because they're talking to other women and the other women are saying, oh, we don't want sex or our husbands, blah, 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 they kind of feel too timid to kind of go, well, yeah, but, you know, I actually like sex. We have a good sex life. Or, and then even you might find that some of the other mums there actually do like sex. or would like to have better sex. And if we actually talked about positive sex and how to make sex good and shared, then maybe we'd all start having better sex.
Okay, so you're in Sue's position. She's in Smithtown with the other mums, and they're all saying blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
How should Sue actually introduce the subject? Should she just say, well, I like sex?
Yes, she could. It depends on Sue's personality, really, how she wants to bring it up.
But you can feel guilty about
it. No. Or maybe she could say, well, maybe you're not having the right kind of sex. And they might
before she comes out with the big declaration is that
Yeah. Or she could just start with, well, actually, I think the kind of, you know, lovemaking, maybe say lovemaking rather than sex, that, you know, my husband and I have is actually quite good. What's happening with you two that you're not? Or even be sympathetic. That's awful. How awful that you're not having a beautiful love life. I feel sorry for you. How can I help you?
Ah, that might be a good
that's
one.
That's a nice approach. Yeah, yes, I like that one. Yeah, go with that one, Sue.
And Phil from Maysville, Kentucky. I just want to say your show is brilliant for sex for the thinking person. I too am sick of the view that we men are obsessed with sex and are like animals who have to have it all the time. I'm sure there are men like that, but as you say, we're on a spectrum and we're all different. I feel that a lot of men are made to feel shameful about our desire for sex. That was certainly the case in my first marriage, where my wife threw the tired old, you're a man and you're sick for wanting so much sex all the time at me all the time.
Yeah, yep.
Fortunately, I got over that, and my current partner sees my desire for her as a positive thing, and we have a great sex life. Thanks for your wisdom. Keep it up. Well, that's nice of you, Phil.
It is, and I like that. What do you call it? Sex for the thinking person.
Sex for the thinking person.
Yeah.
Seeing sex for her as a positive thing rather than a negative thing, that's going to be an attitudinal thing.
It is.
That's a lot of what you deal with in a therapy situation.
Absolutely.
Varying attitudes.
Yes.
You're a man, you're sick for wanting it all the time is an attitude.
Yes.
It's a judgment.
Yes. And seeing his desire for her as a bad thing. Yeah. When a woman can see her partner's desire for her as a beautiful thing, as a welcome thing.
But that's what the sort of thing that people come to therapy for.
Yes. But it's very much the whole tantric approach as well, and the complementarity, which we're getting to. It hasn't been a very tantric day today because I'm busting a few serious myths. But when you can welcome desire from your partner, then it becomes like a gift.
And now we move to the lower part of the show where we're dealing with our bodies.
Well, yes. Now, we always finish off the show with some practical activity. And last week we did breathing. The first week we had a sense of feeling what it was like to be present in our bodies. Last week we learned about belly breathing, which is a really essential part to being able to relax into sex, to be mindful, to be present. And for those of you who are interested in doing some more advanced type tantric practices, it's absolutely essential that you learn to breathe correctly. So go back and listen to that program if you haven't heard it yet. So today we're going to take that a little bit further and we're going to start working our pelvic floor. Now, that doesn't sound particularly erotic or particularly tantric, but believe me, it is essential because you can use your pelvic floor muscle as a kind of energy pump, right? And in time, you can start to use your pelvic floor to pump sexual energy throughout your body and you can reinvigorate yourself whenever you feel like. Practically, it's also really good for preventing men ejaculating too quickly and to enhance orgasm and so forth. So let's just spend a few minutes getting in touch with our pelvic floors. Now, what this is, it's like a band or a girdle of muscle that goes from your tailbone, your coccyx at the base of your spine, if you want to touch that so you can just feel where that is, across to your pubic bone right at the front there. It's like a girdle of muscle and it sort of keeps all your insides in place. There's a few holes in there for various tubes to come through. Okay, now, if you squeeze that, it's the same sensation as though you're trying to stop the urine flowing when you're going to the toilet. Okay, so if you just squeeze that, just gently and just rhythmically. Now, it's important that when you're squeezing your pelvic floor, as much as possible, you relax your abdomen and you relax your buttocks. If you're not used to doing this exercise, you might find that the whole lower body sort of contracts together. And over time, you'll become better and better able to isolate the muscles. And then you can start doing some really interesting stuff. So just for now, all together now, I just want you to squeeze and relax, squeeze and relax. Are you doing this too, Xavier?
Yes, but I'm concentrating on isolating the muscles, because it's really important to relax the buttocks and the lower spine.
Yes.
And the belly.
Yes.
So we're really, really narrowing it down to that small area of very small muscles.
Yes, yes.
Which will get stronger.
They will indeed. Okay, so everyone's still squeezing and relaxing. You can do this at any time. You can do this when you're stopped at red lights, when you're brushing your teeth. I used to practice this when I was singing lullabies to my children when they were little. I would squeeze in time to the music. So I'd be singing, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And then you really hold the squeeze on the star. Right?
Holding the note and holding the muscle.
Yes. It was a fantastic way to remember to do my pelvic floor squeeze. And it's actually more interesting to sing and squeeze than it is just to squeeze.
So we're looking at the area of the perineum between the genitals and the anus?
Yes. You're getting ahead of me there, Xavier.
Need to focus on the right area. I just want to know.
So just the moment, you're just imagining that you're stopping the urine flowing. Okay. So now I want you to do it so that you squeeze and you hold, hold, hold. And staying relaxed in the lower body. Well, in fact, the whole of your body. And relax. And then squeeze and you hold it, hold it. So initially you might only be able to hold it for a couple of seconds, build it up to 10, even 20 seconds. And remember to breathe while you're doing it. If only we could see your face. I can see your face. All right, now the next one is, it's like you're in an elevator. So you're going to squeeze a little bit more, squeeze some more, and squeeze even more, and relax. And squeeze some more, squeeze a little bit more, squeeze, and relax. So those are the three basic exercises, just rhythmically squeezing and relax, squeezing and holding, and then squeezing and squeezing and squeezing some more. And it's also really, really important that you focus on the relaxation, all right? Because a lot of people actually carry a lot of tension down there as well. Certainly if you're a woman who has vaginismus and there's a lot of tightness, it's important that you also focus on the relaxing out. And you can combine this with the breathing exercise that we did last week, where we did the 6-second inhalation and the 6-second exhalation, all right? So you can add the pelvic squeeze with the in-breath, squeezing in, breathing in, taking your time. And then on the out-breath, you're just letting it go, letting the breath go, and just relaxing the muscles and just breathing it out again. You can do that over and over again. Now, if you do have a partner, you can do that together. You can have his penis inside her vagina. Ladies, it's kind of nice if you're sitting astride, or if you're in the yab-yum position, where you're actually you're cross-legged and your legs are crossed behind his back. And if his penis is inside, you can practice this, just squeezing in, squeezing out, relaxing out, sorry, in and out. Now, some of the benefits of doing this is that you, for a start, you're going to prevent vaginal prolapse, which is when you get old and your vagina falls out, which is really quite hideous and is normally a strong incentive to women to start squeezing. For guys, it can actually give you better erectile performance as you get older as well. And for both men and women, it can really enhance orgasmic sensation, because part of orgasm is muscle contraction. And so the more toned your muscles are, the better they'll respond. So for some practice, you can practice this on your own. And as I said, you can do some partnered practice where you can do it with penis inside vagina. You can also think of it as though, ladies, you're giving his penis a massage with your vagina. Yeah. And it's certainly a good way to get a sense of the tone of your muscles. So, and don't give up hope if initially you're on top of him and you're going, can you feel that? And he's like, nah. Don't give up hope. Keep squeezing, keep practicing. And over time, he'll be able to go, oh, yeah, I can definitely feel that, okay? And whether you're consciously working your pelvic floor and your vaginal muscles, or whether you just become naturally more responsive, because a well-toned vagina will actually hold the penis, will hold it tighter, which will make it feel more pleasant for the penis involved and for the vagina. So it's very important that you focus on that. Now, we don't actually have time this week to do the big draw, which is what I was going to do, which is how you can start using that pelvic floor to start drawing the energy up. So I'll just leave that as homework for everybody. practice all week, practice these pelvic floor exercises, and next week we'll start applying them.
It's challenging enough to isolate that very specific area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I've noticed in myself there's a tendency to tense up in places where you're saying don't tense up.
We'll try not to, yes. Yes. All right. So next week we're going to do the big draw.
Yes, next week we're going to do the big draw. And next week our theme is men are fire and women are water.
Yes, it's about the this is about the differences, the actual differences, and how they are good, they are positive, they are complementary.
So even though we've spent the past hour saying that the differences between men and women are often in the head rather than in any reality, there are in fact quite interesting differences between male and female sexuality.
Yes.
That if you recognise, acknowledge them and work with them, certainly go a long way to helping you fulfil your sexual potential.
Absolutely. You will go places that you might only be dreaming of right now.
Going just on this drawing that we don't really have time for, just talk about that briefly, about drawing the energy up.
Yes, it's part of the tantric practice and raising the kundalini energy and so forth, that what you can do is as you generate the sexual energy through intercourse or through thinking about it or just through breathing, you can do this on your own, you can actually draw that energy up into your body and start getting some really quite ecstatic experiences going. And that's when sex becomes really quite spiritual.
And if you want the ebooks to go with this series, they're available at jacquelinehelia.com
or the tantriclounge.com.
Yes. And this will talk about this and more in greater depth.
Yes, yes.
So people have an awareness of what's going on in their bodies and their hearts and in their minds.
Yes. So I'll join you. Please join us again next week.
Thank you again for stepping inside the Tantric Lounge. Please join your host, Jacqueline Hillier, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Now, go try something you've learned this week.